If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to the 20th chapter of Acts? We're reading from verses 17 through 27. Acts 20, verses 17 through 27. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Thank you, Brother Miller. But none of these things move me. As we continue our series of messages in the life of Paul, this is one of those occasions that was a very heart-rending thing for Paul. I don't think any of us can really relate to what Paul was going through at this point. He was writing to the, or speaking to the people, rather, and as he was sharing with them, he was pouring forth his heart and his concern for their life, for their well-being. It was not as though that he would be visiting them as he had done previously, because he knew this would be his last time to see them. Paul was fully aware of where he was in the race. There was no doubt in his mind as to what was about to take place. And the sorrow that gripped him because of these precious people, and of course he was human. He loved these people. He loved them just like you love people. And he did not want to leave them. He did not want to be away from them. He did not want to say goodbye to them. And yet he knew this was what he was doing. I'm saying goodbye. This is it. He knew also that as he was moving along this path, that somewhere along the way he was going to be bound and put into prison, because the Spirit had witnessed to him that this was going to take place. Also, he was en route to Jerusalem. This alone was touching enough, because he also knew this would be the last time that he would see Jerusalem. There was two things that Paul hoped to do when he get to Jerusalem, and that would be, one, he wanted to give them an offering. He had gathered up funds in his journeys about, and he was taking it to the mother church. And as he was moving along to Jerusalem, constantly being reminded that this is the end of the journey, this is it, I won't see these people anymore, constantly being reminded that this will be my last trip to Jerusalem, and weighing heavily upon him was a tremendous burden for his own people. Paul never lost sight of that. Paul could never shake that awesome feeling of the lostness of his own people. They were without God. And if somehow when I arrive in Jerusalem this time, if some way that I can get an audience, that I might speak to them, that I might prevail upon them in some way, that my own kinsmen would be saved. These are the things that were weighing heavily upon Paul. And the church, the believers, were saying, Paul, don't go. The fleshly part of Paul was saying, Paul, don't go. No human being, no person wants to involve himself in a situation where he knows that he's going to be cast into prison. Or that he knows the possibility of facing death. He does not want that. And Paul was just as human as you and I are. And as Paul thought upon these things and was speaking to the body of believers, he said to them, I understand fully. I am not ignorant as to where I am in the journey. I know that I shall see your faces no more. I know this is the last time that I'll talk to you. You are my own family, so to speak. I have begotten you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I have brought you into salvation. And my heart is heavy. I also know that when I leave you, that grievous wolves are going to come in among you and try to devour you. I would that I could stay here and I could fight and I could protect you and I could keep you. But now I must commit you unto the keeping of those that are over you and unto the Holy Spirit. And I must press on. Yes, I know that when I get to the end of this journey here, I'll be bound and I'll be put into prison and I will certainly face death. All of these things are clearly in focus. But I also want you to know that none of these things move me. You see, brothers and sisters, in this journey that you and I are engaged in, there's got to be something beyond us. There's got to be something that I see in the future that's greater than the battle I'm fighting today. And unless I can behold something out there that makes me lose sight. You notice Paul said, I want to finish this course with joy. Amen. How can a man finish a course with joy when he's just said that I know that I'll be bound? That in every city I go, the Spirit tells me I'll be bound. There were spiritual people that were receiving revelation that, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. Paul, you're going to be bound. Paul said, I know that. I received the same witness. That's the confirmation. Isn't it strange that in this day, when we want someone to confirm something with us, it's going to be good, and we're going to get out of this problem we're going to get in, and we're going to have greater blessings in the future, and things are going to be richer out there, and we're going to get a new car, and we're going to get a new house, and we're going to get all of these things. All the confirmations we want in this day and time are confirmations that I'm about to get out of this. And Paul's getting confirmation, when you get there, you're going to be bound. And every place he went, the Holy Spirit revealed to the people the same message. What if somebody walked up to you today and said to you, I feel a witness in my spirit that you ain't got a long stay here, buddy. You say, that's what I was thinking. I've been receiving that too. About that time, somebody else walks up and, or maybe someone walks up and says, I receive in my spirit that you're going to be put in prison. Yeah, you know, God's been trying to tell me that, but I was hoping that it was just my flesh. No, it's really true. I received the witness of it. This was what Paul was facing. Now bear in mind the knowledge of knowing what's out there. Also the weight that is upon him for the care of the church. And yet this man looks squarely into their faces and says, but none of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. Not that Paul didn't love life. What he was saying is that living upon this earth is not the most important thing to me. Living here is not the thing that keeps me going. Trying to stay alive here is not my ultimate goal. He said, my ultimate goal is to finish this course. And as of right now, I'm on course. And regardless of what the future holds, I must not deviate from the course. This is the thing that you and I must constantly seek for, is to know the will of God. May I ask you this morning, are you in the will of God? Then if you're in the will of God, don't let the things you see out in the future, don't let the things that you fear will happen to you tomorrow, cause you to deviate from the course. For if you are going to finish this race with joy, you must maintain the course that God has laid out for you. You can't deviate from it. And Paul is saying, I'm not going to deviate. I'm not going to turn to the right hand nor to the left. My heart is set. My soul is set. I am moving ahead. If when I get to Jerusalem, I'm put into prison, so what? As long as this is the path, this is the way that I must go. Paul is saying, what happens to me is really not what I'm concerned about. Whether that I go to the end of the journey in chains, that's not the real concern of mine. My concern is that I finish this journey, that I stay on course. This is the thing that I ask God for daily. This is the thing that I seek God for in my life continuously. God, don't let me deviate. Don't let me get my eyes on things that look good and on things that seem easier or things that seem better for me or more comfortable for me, that I would deviate from the course and the path that you have for me. The greatest thing in all the world to any human being is that they can finish their course with joy. You can finish the race having felt in your own heart, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I finished the course, I know what's awaiting me. And this is the thing that kept Paul pressing on. If the thing that's keeping you pressing on is what's happening to you today, then you're going to give up. It's just a matter of when. If the thing that's keeping you serving God is what's happening to you today, then you are going to live a short life spiritually. For there must be a goal out here in front of us. There must be something that we hold our eyes on that is so great to us that the trials of this present time cannot be compared with the glory that awaits us there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ could endure the cross. Jesus Christ could lay down his life, not because that he was any different than you and I when it came to pain and hurting. He knew what it was to suffer just like we do. But the reason Christ could keep moving on was the joy that was set before him. Jesus saw your soul and my soul and saw and understood that the only hope for man was our salvation. Amen. Have you ever had a gift for someone and that gift was so beautiful and you were so excited about it until you could hardly wait to give it to them? You just, in anticipation of giving them that, you could hardly contain yourself. I want to give it. I want to see the reaction. I want to see their faces. I want to see what happens to them. Well, when Jesus Christ saw you going through the battles you're going through the heartache that you're going through the difficulty that you're going through, and some of you day after day fighting with everything that you've got to keep your head above water, and Jesus Christ says, I'm going to provide a place, and I'm going to provide a way, and I'm going to make it possible, and I can hardly wait to see their faces when they stand in the fullness of the joy that I have prepared for them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus Christ does not get the fullness of it when he sees us come to this altar. Oh, that's joy. That excites the angels so much until they start worshiping God. When every sinner begins to lay down that heavy load and surrender their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the greatest thing. My friend, when we see him face to face and we behold him in all of his beauty and his glory, hallelujah, it's then that Jesus wants to see our face. Glory to God. See our reactions then when we step inside, where pain and sorrow and heartache is not known anymore, where sickness and disease is not there, where separation is not known anymore. When we step inside that beautiful gate, He wants to see our face and see the reaction then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The joy that was set before Christ, He kept pressing on. Not just to see me give up sin, but to see the reaction on my face when I see that mansion that He's going to prepare for me. Glory to God. That's when the real joy is going to be complete. Now, my question is, would Paul have lost his soul had he not gone to Jerusalem? Would Paul have lost his soul if he would have said, God, I don't want to be bound? Would God have been angry with Paul? Are you listening to me? Would God have somehow discarded Paul if he had said, I'm going to stay here where you people are. You love me. You care for me. You're not going to put me in prison. You know what I believe? I believe that Paul could have stayed. Could have stayed right there with the people from Ephesus. If I don't believe that, then I'm going to believe that there's a lot of people serving God today who aren't going to go to heaven. Right? Because I know people who they love God, but they don't love pain. They don't love trial. They don't love difficulty. And their vision of the end is not great enough to make them endure the hardness and the suffering of this present hour. See, Jesus has got to become so precious to us that in the midst of the battle, when we're wounded, when we're hurt, when people say unkind things about us, when some of you precious pastors that are here, people rise up against you in your church, they say things about your family or things about your children, you go through all kinds of trials and heartaches, maybe you're working as hard as you can, and suddenly you find out that there's no appreciation among the people for you, and all of this hurt and what have you, there's a tendency to throw in the towel, there's a tendency to throw in and quit. But if you have a clear enough vision of Jesus Christ, the pains and suffering of this present time, they will not deviate nor cause you to turn aside from that path or that course that God set out for you. You'll press on and you'll endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross until you finish the race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only thing that keeps us moving on, it's what we see at the end of the way. Hallelujah. The souls we see. And so, when you stop to consider, why in the world would this man, Paul, go through what he's going through? Why? Why? I can't get away from this. God began to pour this into my heart a few weeks ago, and I can't get away from this. Paul considered that God had given to him a tremendous treasure in this truth that would be to be given to the lost. And he considered this a great trust that God had put in him. And Paul felt in his own heart, I've got to get this delivered. I've got to deliver this. I've got to take it. I've got to get this message to the people that Jesus Christ is sending it to. And I am the messenger of Jesus Christ. And I have the only message of hope for these people. This message, if they don't get it, they're doomed and they're damned. If they don't get this message, there is no hope for them. They will be eternally lost. And I have been trusted with this message.
This message has been put into my keeping, and he counted me faithful. And therefore, I cannot look at how I feel. I cannot look at the hardships I may go through, because the one who redeemed my soul gave me this message and told me to take it. And now then, I don't want to disappoint him, and neither do I want to fail these people out there. For if I fail to go, if this gospel be hid, it's hid to those people that sit in darkness. If I hold my peace, then how can these people know? If I don't go, how can they know that there is a Savior that died for them, that there is a Savior that's ready to redeem them, that there's a healer that will heal them, that there's one greater than the demonic forces that holds them in captivity? How can they know except they be told? And somehow, some way, I cannot let my personal feelings enter into it. I cannot let my personal comforts enter into it. I must take this message and deliver it. There's got to be a burden that grips the heart of every Christian, that we see the worth of a soul greater than the comforts of our life, that the value of a soul looms in front of us, that we spare nothing to get that message to those souls. That's got to get a hold of us. Unless it gets a hold of us, then we'll turn aside for every little trivial thing that comes along. And every time something looks a little better, we'll go flitting off after that. But when we hang to the course, you're going to go through rough terrain. You're going to go through hardships. You're going to go through disappointment. You're going to go through times of rejection. You're going to go through times when depression tries to set in upon you. You're going to go through times of want. You're going to go through times of hunger. You're going to go through times of need. But my friend, we cannot turn to the left. Maybe I can turn to the left and I can get some supplies and I can get this. But while that I am turning to the left, there's a soul down there that I have a message for. And the messenger had gave it to me, told me to take it to him, lest he perish. And if I fool around for my own comforts, he's going to die, and his blood shall be at my hands. Did you hear this man saying, I'm free from the blood of all of you? When I walk out of the city of New Orleans, or if they take me out of here in a casket, I want to be able to say I'm free from the blood of the people of this city. I have delivered my soul. I delivered the message. I did not let my own personal conveniences hinder me nor step into the way. I did not let the things that I would enjoy doing pull me aside for the things that I knew I had to do if I was going to finish the course with joy. My friend, somewhere you and I have to get our eyes fixed, our hearts fixed, our souls fixed upon the value of a soul, upon what it means to Jesus to reach the lost and the dying, upon what heaven has put into us and the confidence that heaven has in us that we will deliver this message to those that sit in darkness. If we don't deliver the message, they're lost. They're lost. Now, I'm not so sure, and some of you may beg to differ with me, and that's your privilege. But I'm not so sure that every person who fails to take the message is going to go to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. When you have to stand at that judgment bar and you watch the multitudes of people as they're coming by, and you see faces that you could have reached and you didn't, and you see some of the works that you had and you see them burned up before your eyes, and you see what you could have accomplished, what you could have done, as you're slowly being stripped. Yeah, you're going to be inside. You're going to be inside. But you'll be saved, though, as by fire. See, I don't believe that every person who fails to take the message. But, oh, my friend, sometimes when I get to thinking of what it means, and times whenever I would like to give up on fighting the battle with finances, with television and radio and what have you, and then I see the expression on some people's faces when I see them, and they say to me, oh, Brother Gorman, if it hadn't been for your program, I'd have never been saved. If it hadn't been for your program, I'd have never known the truth. I received a letter just this week from Baton Rouge. And the lady said, no, it was a man and his wife was writing the letter. And he said, sir, he said, we were a member of another church. We were involved in another religion. And says, through your teachings, you brought us to know the truth. You brought us to understand truth. How our hearts cry out for truth. We've never been to your church and we've never been to a church like yours. But we have found Jesus real to our hearts and our lives. Let me tell you something. When I stand inside those pearly gates and the hundreds and thousands of people start walking through there that I've never seen upon this earth, but because I was faithful to the course, I got the message to them. I got the truth to them. It wasn't easy. It wasn't comfortable all the time. It wasn't something that I enjoyed all the time, but I endured the hardness. I suffered the trials and the testing, and I got the message to them. And as they walked inside those beautiful gates, they say, yes, I'm here by the blood of Jesus, but there's the man that told me the message. He delivered the message to me. My brother, that's going to make heaven more beautiful. Hallelujah. 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 When you realize you've got the only message, and the whole world is waiting for that message. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Paul was saying. I've got the only message, and the world's waiting for it. I've got to deliver it. I've got to deliver it. I've got to deliver it. And as I was thinking upon this message, Brother Morris, I was thinking about, I can see Paul as one who's running. Running with all that he's got. His steps are slower now. His back is bent. His sight is not as good as it one time was. His speech, they said, was contemptible. His bodily presence. You know, you talk about a man that went through it. You think you've been criticized. Here's an old boy said, man, we don't want you as a preacher. You don't look good. Your bodily presence is, you know, it's just not tasteful. And your speech. Paul, have you ever listened to yourself talk? Man, you're a bore. That's what the church said to him. That's what they said to him. Amen. Paul said, that's not going to bother me. I'm going to tell him anyway. I'm going to love him anyway. Now, there's sometimes I get frustrated and I tell him, but I don't tell him in the right spirit. But see, Paul told them and kept on loving them. That's what Paul did. He told them and kept on loving them. And here they are criticizing, snatching the rug out from under them, so to speak. But I can see him running, running, running. And he said, I'm almost to the end. See, this is the thing about this award. He knew it. He knew he was just about there. He knew the race was just about over. Amen. And he said, I got one more stop to make. And I got to testify to him there. Testify? What do you mean, Paul? You got to testify. I got to testify of this gospel. What are you going to tell them about the gospel? I'm going to tell them how it works. I'm going to tell them that it takes a man with a stone heart and melts his heart. I'm going to tell them that it takes a man who was filled with bitterness and hatred and turns him around and makes a new creature out of him. I'm going to testify to them that this gospel will keep them. It doesn't matter whether they're cold or hungry or naked or whether they're in shame and embarrassment. If they'll center their hearts in this gospel will keep them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to tell them that this gospel is the greatest message in all the world. To never be ashamed of this gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell them that there is no city so hard that this gospel cannot penetrate it. They can stand among the learned. They can stand among the elite. They can stand among the poor. They can stand in the presence of the demon possessed. But if they will tell this gospel, hallelujah, it will penetrate the darkest area, and it'll bring light unto those that sit in darkness. It'll bring hope to the hopeless. He says, one of those days I was without hope, and the wrath of God was revealed against me, but he reached out and got hold of me and lift me up and made me to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. so I got to make it to the end. I got to testify one more time. One more time! Then what you going to do, Paul, when you testify one more time? When you tell this message, what are you going to do then? I'm going to walk into the arena, and I'm going to say, Death, here I am. I finished. You hounded my tracks every step of the way. You tried to take me. You tried to kill me from the day I started. But I always was one step in front of you. Amen? You followed me to Philippi. You followed me to Lystra. You followed me across the ways. You followed me into the sea. You thought you'd get me there. You followed me to the little island. And when the snake bit me, you thought you'd get me there. You followed me step after step. But I want to just tell you something. I finished the course. I beat you to the end. Now where are you? Come, Death. Where are you? I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to receive my reward. Someone says, oh, but Paul, you can't just die like that. He says, no, but I'm here waiting. When death comes, I'm ready to go. I've finished. I've finished. I have finished it. Hallelujah. He wrote those words to his son. He said, but Brother Brown, that can happen. That can happen. Don't tell me it can't happen. A few years ago, there was a little lady attended this church. Her name was Redant. And Mrs. Redant was one of those faithful, faithful prayer warriors. Never heard anything out of her. Always remembered her pastor, his family at every holiday. Always remembered our birthday. May just be a small little gift, but never forgot. Came to church. I can hear her say now, Pastor, I love you. Oh, Pastor, I thank God for you every day. Every day I thank God for you. One morning, about 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I received a telephone call. Death had walked into her bedroom and was going to snatch her out. And her daughter called me and said, would you please come? Mother's dying. And I rushed to the home. When I got there, she says, Reverend Gorman, her daughter was not a Christian, said, Reverend Gorman, would you go back into the area there? I'm waiting at the door because I've called for them to come and take her to the hospital. And said, I'm waiting for the crash wagon now. And so whenever that I walked back into the room, she was so near gone, I could only hear her if I put my ear right down beside her. And she says, Pastor, the devil's trying to kill me. Now, it took her longer to say this because she was out of breath. She says, but my baby's coming in from Minneapolis, and she's going to be here in 2 weeks. And the Lord told me I was going to get to testify to my baby, and I was going to see my baby saved. And the devil's trying to kill me before then. But if you will agree with me, he can't take me. And I prayed with her, and the power of God hit that room, and God raised that little soul up. And that morning, when I went to 9 o'clock Sunday, I'm at 9:45 Sunday school, there sat Sister Redant in the service. Amen. Glory to God. 2 weeks later, her daughter came in from Minneapolis. Her daughter came to the service. The first service, nothing happened. The next Sunday, nothing happened. Wednesday night, nothing happened. The next Sunday, nothing happened. The following Wednesday night, she only had that Wednesday night and one more Sunday, and she'd be going back to Minneapolis. And that Wednesday night, God broke through and got a hold of her daughter's heart, and she walked to that altar and accepted Jesus. Sunday went by, and Sister Redant sat there with a big smile on her face and tears coursing down her cheeks. And I don't know what she was saying, but I can think it's something like this. Devil, I won one more time. Hallelujah. My baby saved. My baby saved. And then Sister Redant, her daughter went back to Minneapolis. 1 week after her daughter went back to Minneapolis. Sunday evening, I'll never forget it, at 6 o'clock. Because I had a committee meeting at 6:30. And I was leaving my house when the phone rang. And her daughter says to me, Reverend Gorman, please meet us at the hospital. Mother's had another severe attack.
and meet us at the hospital. When I got to the Ashland Foundation Hospital, I rushed into the emergency area and asked about her, and one of the nurses happened to know me, and she says, "Oh, Reverend, they took the lady upstairs because we've had a serious accident. There's been a car accident, and the emergency room is filled with people here," and so they sent her on up to her room, and she told me where to go to check, and so I found the place and made it up to the room. When I walked into the room, I'll never forget the sight. As a matter of fact, I was walking down the corridor of the Ashna Hospital just this week, and I was thinking about this. As I walked along that corridor, and I came to the door was a little ajar, and I could see a doctor standing on her side. As I pushed the door open, there was a nurse on the other side. And when Sister Redant saw my face, she lifted that feeble little hand and said, "There's my pastor." And she began to talk to me, and began to share with me. And the doctor looked at the nurse and says, "I believe the pastor has more of her attention than we do. Let's step outside." You don't usually get a doctor to do that, but that doctor sensed something about what was going on. And I walked over to her bed, and I took hold of that little feeble hand that was already cold. And I'll never forget these words, "Pastor, don't you pray for me. Or if you pray for me, God will heal me. And I'm finished. I'm ready to go home." And I held her hand. I was speechless. She had beat death. She had literally outrun him. She had fought him off every step of the way. And she finished the course. And now she's in the arena waiting for death to come. And then about that time, she says, "I hear them. I hear them coming." I said, "You hear what, Sister Redant?" "Pastor, you don't hear them? Oh, they're singing so beautiful. And they're coming." And then she says, "They're getting closer." And her face was aglow. She says, "They're coming after me. They're just right up there." And she kept trying to get me to hear them. But I never could hear them. But she heard them. And after I stood there for several minutes, I said, "Let's have a prayer. And then I'll go. I must get to the service." She says, "Okay, Pastor, but don't you ask God to heal me. For if you do, He will." Isn't that a tremendous thing? That you can run into the last arena and say, "Man, He's faithful. If you ask Him, He'll do it." Those words rang in my ears for days and days. And I just thanked God for His presence, is all I did. And I laid her hand back on her, and I turned and walked out. Before I got to the first floor, they arrived. They got her. And I thought, "Oh God, that's the way Paul left. That's the way Paul walked out of here. He outrun death. He fought it back. Death couldn't take him until he finished the race." Amen? And when he finished the race and finished the course, then death could come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that what our Lord promised us? If we stay on the course, nothing can stop us till we finish the race. Would you lift your hands and love Him? Hallelujah.